Thomas Jefferson, before he became the third president of the United States, was working as a diplomat for our country and traveling in various parts of Europe. In fact, he traveled to the countries of Germany, France, Italy, and even England as a diplomat representing our country. And as he traveled around to these various European countries, he looked around and saw how other people lived. He reflected on the opportunity for the common man and how this was sadly missing in these other countries. He observed that just a few possessed power over many others. The majority of people controlled nothing, and especially their own lives. He noticed the meager way that people eked out their lives in some of these countries. Then, contemplating the United States and all that our people possessed, or back in those times in the late 1800s, he was aroused to say this. He said, "How little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of, and of which no other people on earth enjoy." Mr. Jefferson made that statement over 200 years ago, when the United States was just a baby country, when it was just growing. In fact, just the 13 colonies, which would become the states. The country hadn't even seen or grown into the areas of Ohio, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, all those rich farmlands. And yet, he reflected on how many blessings that the United States had. People today, sadly, do not reflect upon their blessings. They don't reflect upon the magnitude of their blessings. And what even people realize less today is where our blessings come from, who is the source of our blessings. They just don't even think about that. Do you think about and count your blessings that you have in your life? Did you know that there is a connection between contemplating, reflecting upon our blessings, and worshiping God? Because God is the source of our blessings. When we think about and reflect and praise our Almighty God for the blessings we have, it's actually a form of worshiping Him. We have many, many blessings, not only in this country, but in our individual lives, because of the goodness of our God. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 63. Let's begin in the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. And we'll be taking a look at verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse number 7. And as we read through this particular verse, notice the description of God that is laid out here by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 7. "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel." So Isaiah in this particular message is reflecting upon all that God has bestowed upon the nation of Israel, the many blessings. Continuing on, "which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses." So we have a description of our God here and the blessings that he bestows, and also some of the character qualities that he possesses. Notice in the middle of the verse, we come across the phrase, "the great goodness of God." That can actually be translated "the great bounty" or "the vast bounty that God bestows upon his people." Also in the last part of the verse, we see the words "mercy" and "great kindness." Mercy and kindness, that's what God shows to each and every one of us, because he is the source of our blessings. God bestows great blessings, and we need to think about and reflect upon those blessings in our daily lives, both the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that God bestows upon us. The title of the sermon today is "Reflecting Upon Our Blessings." Reflecting upon our blessings. Today, let's examine why it is so important to reflect upon our blessings and to realize the source where our blessings come from our Almighty God. We have so much to be thankful for, but so many times, because of work or maybe school or all the things that we are involved in, we simply just don't take the time to reflect upon the blessings that we have and to be thankful for the things that God has given to us, the magnitude of the blessings that we have been given. God blesses us through His goodness, both the physical and the spiritual blessings. Today's message will actually begin a two-part series on blessings. In today's message, we're going to concentrate on God as the source of our blessings and being thankful to Him. We will also examine how we can reap the blessings that God provides for us. It's actually a very simple formula on how we can reap the blessings from our God. Now let's take a minute and examine this word blessings. The term blessed or bless or blessings is used throughout the Bible. Blessings are given from the opening of the book in Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to the final book in the book of Revelation. Genesis is filled with scriptures talking about the blessings that were given, were promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants. David in the Psalms talks about the blessings, and even Proverbs through Solomon. So it's a term that's used from the beginning of the book all the way to the end. Now the term blessed or blessing occurs over 400 times, or about 400 times, in the Old Testament scriptures. In the New Testament scriptures, from the original Greek, we come across the word blessed or blessing more than 65 times. And when we boil it down to its basic meaning, to the basic simple meaning of blessing, it means to bestow favor upon another. To bestow favor upon another. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. We mentioned that from the very opening of the Bible, the word blessing is used, and we see that God actually blessed many creatures during the creation week. He designed and bestowed blessings with the creation. Genesis chapter 1, and let's pick it up in towards the end of the creation week and drop down to verse number 21. Genesis 1, verse 21. And we read, "So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 22. "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply." Now this was a simple command that God gave. Simply saying, be fruitful and multiply. A simple command to the creatures that He created. So He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let the birds multiply on the earth. And so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now let's drop down to verse 26. "Then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So God was making something special here with man, to have a relationship with man, something that the other creatures that He created would not have. And He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creep upon the earth. So God gave, not only was He going to have a relationship with man, because He made man in His image, but also man would have dominion over the rest of the earth. Verse 27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." Now notice verse 28. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply." Now there's a difference here in the terminology here between what God said, the blessing He gave to man, and the blessing He gave to the other creatures. Because to the creatures, He simply commanded, saying, be fruitful and multiply. But to man and woman, he said to them, he gave the blessing to them, a relationship that he was going to have with man and woman. Again, verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then we come to verse 29. God would provide for man and woman, give them the physical blessings. Verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To it shall be for you food. So again, God provided the food, the necessary things that are vital to keep us living, the physical blessings. Verse 30, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So God provided his creation with food, the physical blessings. Then we come to chapter 2. God also provided the spiritual blessing for man. Chapter 2, verse number 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Verse number 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. God did something to a day, made it special, sanctified it. Sanctified means to set it apart, to make it holy. Now that's quite the thing, to make a day actually holy. And that's what God did here. He sanctified it because he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And God did this as an example for mankind. God did not have to rest. He was all powerful. But he did that as an example for the rest of mankind. Not only so that mankind could rest from his physical activities, but it also provided a spiritual relationship to that man. A day set aside that was holy for man to do extra prayer, to study God's word, to have that relationship with God. In other words, the spiritual blessings. A day that not only mankind could rest from, but it pictures eternal rest for all of mankind, so that in his kingdom, in the kingdom of God, all mankind can have the chance to be part of his family. The ultimate blessing that mankind can achieve, to be a part of the very family of God. Let's go now to Psalm chapter 68. So we see in the very creation week, God began to bestow his blessings upon creation, the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 68. Let's continue reading about this theme of God providing for his people, the blessings that he gives. Psalm chapter 68. And this time we'll be looking at verse number 19. Psalm chapter 68. And verse number 19. We read in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And God does daily load us with benefits, doesn't he? He blesses us with those physical blessings, the food that we have and the clothes that we have to wear, all the things that we need to survive. He loads us, physically speaking, with blessings. This word daily, here in the middle of the verse, literally means day by day or constantly. God constantly loads us with benefits, with physical blessings. There's other translations, like the New International Version, that translates that particular phrase, who bears our burdens. And God does that as well. In our times of crisis, when we need to have his help, we can look to him and pray to him. And he does bear our burdens. And we can be very thankful for that he does. But the most important part of this particular verse is the last part of the verse, where we read, the God of our salvation. Let's continue on reading verse number 20. Our God is the God of salvation. So it's repeated here in verse number 20. And to God, the Lord, belongs escapes from death. So we see here in the last part of verse number 19 and the first part of verse number 20, that God is the God of our salvation. He delivers us, or He bears our burdens. He helps us in our time of need. He delivers us just like He delivered the children of Israel out of their slavery from Egypt. He delivers us as well. The last part of verse number 20 can be better translated like this. From God comes escape from death. Escape from death. And that's what God provides for us. The access to eternal life for those that will follow His will and walk in His way. He does provide the access to eternal life. The escapes from death. And eternal life is one of the greatest blessings that God offers to mankind. God gives us the physical, daily loads us with the physical blessings, but He also provides us with the spiritual blessings as well. So we see that God is the source of our blessings. He's the one that possesses and dispenses all things. And all of this is the result of His character quality of goodness. Our God is a God of goodness. Let's examine that. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. In this particular account, in Exodus 33, we see that Moses was talking to God. And actually, God called was talking to him like he would talk to a friend. However, God had descended in a cloud as he was talking to Moses. God could not show his face to Moses because no one could look on God without dying. So what Moses was doing when he was communicating with God was simply talking to him. Talking to him and hearing God's voice. Let's pick it up in verse number 18 then. Moses was talking to him, hearing his voice. And then he says in verse 18 to God, "Please show me your glory." He just directly and bluntly asked God to show him his glory. Verse number 19, God responded and said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Verse 20, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face. No man can see me and live.'" So God told Moses, "I'm sorry, I can't show you my face. You won't be able to live, but I will pass my goodness before you. I will pass my name before you." And within this name that God would show to Moses, he describes his very character quality. Let's notice in verse 30, chapter 34, verse number 5. Chapter 34, verse number 5. "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, just to read over that real quickly, we can't really capture the essence of what that scripture really means and what it entails. For God, the creator of the universe, to actually descend in a cloud and be before Moses and to proclaim what his very name is to this man. To us, it would be awesome if he did that in front of us. And it must have been awesome for Moses as well. Now, he proclaims the name, his very name to Moses. And here's what he says. Verse number 6. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" All of this is God's name as he proclaimed his character quality before Moses. It was an awesome thing. Notice here in verse number 6 towards the end of this particular description that God gave to Moses of his name, you know, mercy, graciousness, long-suffering, forgiving iniquity. He talks about goodness and truth. The phrase is, as we read it, abounding, or we could say overflowing in goodness. So part of God's very character quality is that he is overflowing or abounding in goodness. That's part of his name. The Nelson Study Bible says that the basic meaning of the word goodness is loyal love or steadfast love. And that's what God shows to us. That's what he shows to us when he gives us the physical blessings that we have and also the spiritual blessings to be able to understand his word. Loyal love, steadfast love, and also the very access to eternal life by His plan of allowing Jesus Christ to die for each and every one of us. Loyal and steadfast love. The Nelson Study Bible also says that goodness is one of the most significant words to describe the character of God. One of the most significant words to describe the character of God. Unger's Bible Dictionary says, goodness expresses the supreme benevolence, the holiness, and the excellence of all of God's attributes. In other words, it's the sum of all of God's attributes. And goodness is something in God that's solid through and through. It's a very positive quality and expresses itself in good and beneficial acts towards others. And that's what God does to us. He blesses us. So goodness, one of God's very character qualities, and blessings go hand in hand. Now God has a twofold aspect or a twofold purpose in giving blessings to His children. As we had talked about in the book of Genesis and Creation Week, there's the physical aspect and there's also the spiritual aspect of the blessings that God gives. When we talk about the spiritual side, God extends blessings to all with a purpose, that His goodness may bring a person to walk with Him, to begin to have a relationship, to obey Him, and so that thereby they may have access to eternal life. That is the spiritual side. But there's also the physical side. Because of God's great goodness, we have great abundance, great blessings, just like what we see on the table over here to my right. The physical side, the blessings. And that's why we celebrate Thanksgiving, the national holiday of Thanksgiving, which we all celebrated here just a couple of days ago. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 23, please. Talking about this physical side of the blessings that God gives to us, the goodness, the great abundance. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 23. This is a psalm that's familiar to many people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I want to focus in on this blessings from the goodness of our God. In fact, Psalm chapter 23 has a title to it. And the title of Psalm chapter 23 is the goodness of God. Psalm chapter 23, and let's take a look at verses 5 and 6. Psalm chapter 23, verse number 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy, again the character qualities of our God that we read about in Exodus 34. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So within verses 5 and 6 here, we have both aspects of God's goodness. We have the physical aspects of the abundance that God gives to us, and the spiritual side of living in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go back and examine a little closer verse number 5. We see that God prepares a table here in this particular first part of this verse. There's a symbolism here that God is preparing a banquet. And we know that God is preparing a great banquet for mankind in the kingdom of God. And all the earth eventually will be invited to this particular banquet. So the Lord is the host at a banquet. And the table is laden with food and drink. Just like the table over here is laden with food and drink. I don't know how many of you just a couple of days ago at Thanksgiving were laden with food and drink on your tables. Ours was overflowing. In fact, we had so much, we ate well. I forgot to mention that my two brothers came from Michigan to visit, and we also have the boys here with us from Nashville today. But our table was laden with food. Then later on, we ate, we had dessert. We could eat again in the evening. Yesterday, at lunch, we ate again from the same food that was from the table that was overflowing. I opened the kitchen, the refrigerator this morning before I went to Jonesboro to leave to get some juice, and there were still bowls stacked up in the refrigerator of the overflowing abundance from the table that had been prepared. And that's what we have. And we can be so thankful for it. And that's what's being described here. The blessings, the physical blessings of God giving us abundance. The last part of the verse says, my cup runs over. It runs over. It pictures overflowing from God. Such abundant blessings. Overflowing with what God has provided. And we should and need to be thankful for what God has given to us. You know, our nation just celebrated the national holiday of Thanksgiving just a couple of days ago. We all participated in that. But not all nations of the world do celebrate Thanksgiving. My wife and the two boys and my daughter-in-law, they're all from Argentina. The country of Argentina and South America does not celebrate Thanksgiving. There are some countries around the world that do have a Thanksgiving Day, but not in the same manner, the same national holiday that the United States and Canada have. The United States and Canada have a specific day set aside where it's a national holiday for everybody to keep this day. But you know, from the very beginning, you all know the story of the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving and all that was behind there, the turkeys and the Indians and such as that. But when you examine the history of the day of Thanksgiving, it wasn't always on the same day, nor did everybody celebrate it. In fact, there was many states, as states became states and formed part of the Union, some of them had different days that they celebrated Thanksgiving on. I don't know all the particulars, but for instance, maybe one state celebrated it in March and the others in November, etc. So there was a movement in the early 1830s to try to get one particular day to be the national holiday of Thanksgiving and try to get all the states behind it. Well, the movement kept progressing and progressing, but along came the Civil War and kind of disrupted that movement to have a national day of Thanksgiving. But it was during the Civil War that Abraham Lincoln actually made a proclamation to declare that the whole country come under one day, the last day last Thursday in November, to be a national holiday set aside to give thanks to God, a day of Thanksgiving. And he made that particular proclamation again in 1863. And I want to read just a couple of excerpts from that, because within that proclamation, we have the very essence, the very meaning of what Thanksgiving is about. Here's how the part of the proclamation reads in just a couple of paragraphs. It says, the year that is drawing to a close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Abraham Lincoln said that in 1863. And I think we could echo that today, that many, many thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of our people don't realize where those blessings come from, nor give thanks in the proper way that should be done. Continuing on, we read, no human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. Abraham Lincoln then went on to say, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. That last phrase tells the meaning of what Thanksgiving is about and why this national day was set apart as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our Creator who has blessed us in the heavens. And it has a whole lot of meaning. And yet, sadly, our nation and our people are forgetting what Thanksgiving is really about. Giving thanks to God for the blessings that we have. You know, it was sad to hear this particular year, and I think it's just unique to this particular year. All of you know that the day after Thanksgiving is the traditional day where people begin buying things for the next holiday that's coming along, what's called Black Friday. And they fill the malls and the stores and begin their shopping. Well, a few of the major retailers, I'm not sure all of them, I heard Walmart and a couple others, actually began opening their doors on parts of Thursday, and what they were calling Black Thursday, to open the doors to people to begin the shopping, which takes people's mind away from what that day is about, and gets the companies, you know, more profits. And that's the bottom line, greed and profits, to make more money, and drawing people away from what the essence of Thanksgiving is, what we read about from Abraham Lincoln's proclamation. But we, especially as Christians and members of the church, can't let society's influence work on us to where we forget where our blessings come from, and to be thankful for those blessings. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. In verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 10. And we'll be reading verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now this first part of this verse we read says the blessings of the Lord makes us rich. Now, not everybody attains rich, to become rich like what we imagine, you know, having all kinds of money and maybe a huge house and cars and boats and, you know, not that kind of rich. But we are rich through the blessings that God provides to us. It's the blessings that comes from God. The paraphrase of verse 22 reads like this, and this actually expresses it better. The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it. In other words, God's blessings is our wealth. What we do with our hands doesn't add anything to it. In fact, sometimes with these hands we get ourselves in trouble, don't we? We mess things up. But through God and His blessings, we become rich. The physical and the spiritual blessings that He gives to us. You know, I was reading this particular verse when I was preparing this particular sermon, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and this is just kind of the humorous side. Sometimes I grab a hold of my wife's purse, and you know, I grab a hold of it. What is in this purse? It's so heavy. You know, maybe there's diamonds or there's rubies or maybe it's full of money or whatever it is. And you know, but it's something that a woman has. That she takes care of and all the different things that are within a purse. But there's also, you know, you've heard of the monster truck, the truck that has the big wheels and it sits up way high off the earth. And well, there's also the monster purse. And my wife has one of those. When we travel to South America, she can put everything within it. And you know, sometimes I'll, and you know, those things are, that's good though. I'm not knocking it. Actually good, you know, boy, you know, if I need something in particular, she's got it. But sometimes I'll go, you know, and this is a man thing. I'll say, you know what, I can't find the checkbook. Well, it's in my purse. So it's just right there in the purse. So I'll go digging around in the purse, you know, kind of like a man that's going into the deep sea dive and he keeps going down deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, but comes up with nothing. And so then I come up out of the waters and I say, this is figuratively, and I say, I can't find the checkbook. She calmly walks over there without even hardly looking inside, puts the hand down and pops it right up. That's because a woman knows her purse. But anyways, that's the comical side. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. God provides for us the physical and the spiritual blessings. And our hands can't do anything to add to it. So what is it then? We see that God gives us the blessings. What's the key? What is the key to really reaping the blessings that God bestows upon us? Like I said earlier, it's a very simple formula of reaping blessings from God. Let's take a look just across the page. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 10. Proverbs 11. And verse number 10. By the blessing of the upright, or we could also say the righteous, by the blessing of the upright or the righteous, the city is exalted. In other words, the city prospers from the blessing of a righteous man, the upright man. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So you got a contrast here. You got the wicked and you got the upright or the righteous. The blessing goes to the righteous man. And that's the very bottom line key of reaping blessings from God, is being upright or righteousness. Unfortunately, we live in a world, in a society that's getting away from God. It's a sad thing to hear about some of the things that go on. You know, the murders in the schools and in the malls and some of the things that happen. And it's a result of people not instructing their children right, not teaching them the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. They're very simple commandments that if everybody would live by that, we'd be blessed as a society. And yet mankind is in our country and mankind in general is getting away from that. And instead of reaping blessings, unfortunately, it's cursings. But God wants us to be blessed. Let's go now to, we see that the righteous of the upright reaps the blessings from God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is a section that's known as the Beatitudes, which is simply put, special blessings. The Beatitudes are special blessings. But we find here in Matthew chapter 5 that previously God had called the disciples who would eventually become the apostles to follow him. He went up to the various ones, the fishermen, and said, follow me. And as they began to follow him, then we come to chapter 5 of Matthew, where he actually sits down and begins to teach them. He called them to follow. Now he begins to teach. And the first thing that he begins to teach them is the Beatitudes, or the blessings. And within these blessings, we find how we reap the blessings from God. What it amounts to is each one of these blessings, these Beatitudes, shows a way to have a relationship with God. Matthew 5, verse number 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught the disciples, saying, blessed is the poor in spirit. Verse number 4, blessed are those who mourn. Verse number 5, blessed are the meek. Verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, are the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. Verse number 9. So we see here, there's various character qualities that can be developed by developing a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And within developing these character qualities, this relationship with God, one can be blessed. Now let's focus on verse number 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what happens if they hunger and thirst for righteousness? For they shall be filled. There's a connection between blessed in the beginning of the verse and being filled at the end of the verse. And in between is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just like we hunger and thirst for water or food. Christ says to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you shall be blessed. And not only blessed, you'll be filled. That's quite the blessing, a special blessing. So now we need to ask, what is righteousness? So that we can be blessed. Psalm chapter 119, verse 172. Psalm chapter 119, and verse 172. This is the definition of righteousness. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 172. Verse 172 of Psalm 119. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. That's the simple definition of what righteousness is. God's commands, the Ten Commandments, and following those. And if we follow those, hunger and thirst for those, we shall be blessed. Again, a very simple formula for us to follow. All your commandments are righteousness. And that's what our society and peoples are losing a grip upon. When we don't teach our children, when we take the Ten Commandments out of our offices and out of our buildings and out of our public buildings and schools and everything, we lose a grip on the blessings that we can reap from our God. We get away from God, His life, and His laws. And we're not filled with the blessings, rather reaping the cursings. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I think most of you are familiar that this is one of the blessings and cursings chapters. There's actually two of them, Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, are the blessings and cursings that God's people would reap. Blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience. Let's take a look at a few of these here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We won't read all of them, but let's take a look at some of the blessings for obedience, of living a righteous life, in other words. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, notice the vocabulary here, diligently obeying God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today. What will happen if you diligently observe the commandments? It says here in the last part of the verse, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And these blessings, or the blessings that are going to be repeated here in the next verses, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So God promised that the nation would be high, be exalted for following His laws. Not only following them, but diligently and carefully observing them. Then we see some of the blessings described here in these verses. I won't go through them. You can take a look at them at home tonight if you'd like. Verse number 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground. In other words, the produce, the production, the agricultural aspect of it. The increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. So God promised physical blessings for obedience. Verse number 12, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season. Rain in due season, it's termed, for our crops, a blessing for obedience. Continuing on, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now that's an interesting statement there. There was a time when we were a lender nation, when our nation was, let's say, following God in many aspects, you know, teaching our children, many more thousands and thousands of people going to church, observing God, trying to follow His way of life, let's say, the best that they could. And our nation was blessed for that. We were a lender nation. But because we're getting away from following God, as a nation generally speaking, we're becoming a borrowing, debtor nation. And it's one of the cursings for not obeying God. Verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. In other words, for obeying Him, He'll make you the head, the leader of other nations in the world, and not the tail for obeying Him. And not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So God promised blessings for the careful obedience, the diligent obedience on the part of His people. Let's go now to Psalm chapter 112. Psalm chapter 112. Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 6. Psalm chapter 112, beginning in verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. That's what we've been talking about since we read the Beatitude. Those who hunger and shall be filled. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, following God's commandments diligently. The man will be blessed who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. A simple promise of blessing for obedience. Verse number 2. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright or the righteous will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Not necessarily, you know, wealth like we term it, but the blessings of having a good life and being taken care of. And His righteousness endures forever. So again, here we have the two aspects, the physical blessings of being blessed by God, and also the spiritual blessings. Righteousness enduring forever. Eternal life, eventually part of the family of God for those who will walk God's way. Verse number 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. God is light. First John chapter 1. Light in the darkness. God shows His way. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Verse number 5, a good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Both in verse number 3, the end of verse number 3, it says, His righteousness endures forever. In the last part of verse number 6, the righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Everlasting remembrance for following and obeying God. That's a long time. Everlasting remembrance. Eternal life for following God. And as I have said, unfortunately, we live in a society, in a world that does not completely follow God. It's sad. But there's good news. There's good news. That's going to change when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes the kingdom of God. There will be a change. And mankind will have access to those blessings. There will be a change when Christ begins to rule. Let's go to Psalm chapter 67 as we begin to wind down in this particular message today. The theme of Psalm 67 is the future harvest. The future harvest of mankind. Psalm chapter 67. As I say, there's going to be a change around from people walking away from God to walking with God. Psalm chapter 67. The beginning of this particular psalm in verse number 1 begins with a prayer to God. A prayer for asking for God's blessing and mercy. Let's begin Psalm 67 verse number 1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. As I mentioned earlier, God is light. And He will show light to those who want to walk in His way. So the prayer is, be merciful to us and bless us. Continuing on, that Your way may be known on earth and Your salvation among all nations. And that's why we preach the gospel message. That's why we preach the gospel message to the world, to preach that message to the ends of the earth so that people can be witnessed to in that way. But it says here, that Your way may be known on earth and Your salvation among all nations. That hasn't happened yet. That has not happened where all nations, all peoples of the earth understand God's plan of salvation. That lays yet out into the future after Jesus Christ returns. Verse number 3, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. That hasn't happened yet either. We don't find all peoples of this earth praising God, do we? In fact, we have a lot of atheists. We have a lot of people who don't even acknowledge that God exists. People that would unfortunately even curse. But this will be fulfilled in the future after Jesus returns. Let all the peoples praise You, and let all the peoples praise You. Verse number 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. That hasn't happened yet either, has it? As we look around at the governments of this earth, and we see the things that are happening, the injustices, people being slaughtered, killed, children dying of malnutrition, all the things that you can think of. That's what happens when man governs upon this earth. But when Jesus Christ returns and governs, all the peoples are going to be praising God, and they're going to be glad and singing for joy. Verse number 5. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. This is so important that it's repeated. We saw it in verse number 3, again in verse number 5. What happens then after Jesus Christ sets up His government and all the nations begin to flow to Jerusalem to learn His ways, Isaiah chapter 2? What will happen? Verse number 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. the blessings that God will begin to bestow upon the earth. The beautiful prophecies like Isaiah chapter 35, where it talks about the desert blossoming like a rose. Some of the waste places on this earth, which are unproductive, are going to be productive. And not only will there be physical blessings, the earth producing, but the spiritual aspect will be bestowed upon mankind too. The access to the family of God. Then the earth shall yield her increase, the physical blessings. God, our God, God, our own God, shall bless us. Verse number 7, it's repeated. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. That's a beautiful statement, but it has not been fulfilled yet. It will. It's a promise to happen in the future. And it's something that we can look forward to when God begins to not only physically bless the earth and the people on it, but also spiritually giving that access to salvation, to become part of His family. The great harvest of humanity, that all ends of the earth shall fear Him, learning of His ways and worshiping Him as well. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9. We've been going through the book of Zechariah in our Bible study series. We are going to be going through chapters 10 and 11 today. But let's go to Zechariah chapter 9. Verses 16 and 17, where we left off in the last Bible study. It's a prophecy of the blessings that God will give in the future when Jesus Christ returns. Zechariah chapter 9. In fact, we're going to start out with this particular scripture in the Bible study today, later on. Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 16. For those of you taking notes, verses 16 and 17. Zechariah 9, verse 16. The Lord their God will save them in that day. That phrase, in that day, is talking about that great day when Jesus Christ returns. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of His people. They shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over the land. So God will be giving that access to salvation to mankind. But notice this in verse 17. How great is its goodness. That word, its, should actually be His, if you have a marginal reference in your particular Bible. How great is His goodness, which is what we've been talking about in this particular sermon. God's goodness, His character quality that leads to blessings. How great is His goodness, and how great is His beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. That's talking about abundance, the blessings that God will bestow after Jesus Christ returns and begins to set up His government and take control of this earth. The blessings that will come upon this earth. Now let's go to the final scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. We saw that particular psalm began with a prayer asking for God's blessing, and we see the ultimate blessing that will happen to mankind, the future harvest in God's kingdom. Revelation chapter 2, for the final scripture, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. Of course, the revelations from Jesus Christ that was given by the Father to give to the Apostle John to write down so that the churches can read this down throughout the ages. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He who has an ear, and that's each and every one of us, we have ears to hear God's word and to listen and to take it to heart. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here's what it says. To him who overcomes, overcoming our human nature, leaving sin behind and walking with God righteously, obeying His commandments diligently. To him who overcomes, I will give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life, to live forever. Eternal life for obeying God and walking with Him and overcoming our human nature. That's a promise, and that's something that we can fulfill by doing our best to diligently walk with God. God promises blessings that go far beyond the physical blessings, our food and drink and the things that we eat, and far outweigh the physical life. The goodness of God is seen by God in the physical blessings that we enjoy. But even more importantly, the spiritual blessings are the great aspect of the blessings from God. The knowledge of His plan for mankind and to share all of eternity with God in Jesus Christ. Let us reflect upon and acknowledge the blessings that God has given to us, both the physical blessings that we have and the spiritual blessings. Now, especially as we partake of this particular Thanksgiving meal today, giving thanks to our great and almighty God, a time of thanksgiving.